Mark chapter 2, let us hear the word of the Lord. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast, and they come and say unto him, Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. No man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filleth it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. The Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have ye never read what David did? When he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. He said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he said unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill. But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us look unto him in prayer. O Lord our God, we desire to know thy word. We desire to know thee, the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath revealed thee unto us, and hath declared thee unto us. We pray that the preaching of thy word may be filled with grace this night, may be filled with the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that we may know whether we have faith in Christ. And we pray that we may be delivered from every unbelief and that we may be established upon our Savior. Bless the preaching of thy word this night for the sake of Christ, the great head of the church. We pray, amen. Fourth commandment is the longest of all the commandments. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Preaching on the fourth commandment could be elaborated into 2 or 3 or 4 sermons, and we're going to endeavor to look at it in one evening tonight, and we trust that the Lord is going to bless us. The essence of the Sabbath day is rest. The root of the word, in fact, has to do with rest more than with seven, although that is connected with it as well. It has to do with a 24-hour day. And that is very plain by the way in which it refers to the reason for the establishment of the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It has already been instituted. It is not new to the Ten Commandments, although here it is made a part of the moral law. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Where do we remember it from? We remember it from creation. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. And what was the nature of the rest of God on the seventh day? He was not huffing and puffing and all tired out and worn out and saying, boy, I need a rest. You and I do that. That's the rest. We need physical rest from time to time after a period of time. And the Lord says, you need a rest after 6 days of labor. That's the Lord's command. And the reason is that I have given you that as a template, if you will. I created the world. I did all of my work in 6 days I rested upon the seventh. And I want you to do the same. The nature of God's rest, of the rest of God, was that he looked back and contemplated all of the things that he had made and he gloried in them. He rejoiced in everything that he had made that it was good. And that is the nature of the Sabbath rest, the Sabbath day that was given in the Ten Commandments. Here is a day, 1 day in seven, that is set aside, and you are to spend that day glorying in the work of the Lord. It is to be a day of rest from your normal labors. It ought to look completely different from every other day. It is a day in which you particularly devote the hours of that day to the contemplation of God and His works and His deeds. And the Lord says, I want you to take that day. I want you to consider what I have done. I want you to read the Scriptures. I want you to attend to the instruction on the Lord's day with the Lord's people. I want you to gather together with my people. And I want you to hear the preaching of the Word, which I have ordained for your sanctification. I want you to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. I want you to bear one another's burdens. I want you to together remind one another to keep looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to rest in all that I have done. I want you to remember that you have rested from your labors, that you don't work for your salvation, but that you are looking to Christ's finished work upon the cross, Christ's finished work in a perfect life that merits your salvation. I want Christ to be the center of your day, of your Sabbath day. And you may say, well, shouldn't that be true every day of the week? Yes. Yes. One of the great criticisms, condemnations that the Lord makes of the Pharisees is that really they had only an external view of religion. Everything looked good from the outside. They had their phylacteries, they had their robes, they had all the things that made them look really, really holy. And Christ says, you look great. You look great on the outside. But you look terrible on the inside. You're like when you drive past a graveyard and you see the beautiful mausoleums or crypts where people are buried above the ground and they're all whitewashed and they're beautiful and they're painted and they're kept up and they're bright and sparkling, but you know what's inside them? Dead men's bones. And he says, your heart is like that. You look great on the outside, but you're wicked on the inside. And they were able to teach men, and they were able to instruct them, they were able to preserve the Lord's day meticulously. But they didn't carry anything of that instruction from their heart, into their heart. They didn't carry it with them. It was all externalized. It was all just precepts and reading and line upon line and precept upon precept, which incidentally, Isaiah says, is just a very childish way of learning. It's not the prescribed way. It's very childish. The ABCs, Sunday school. I want you to go forward with me. And I want you to use the Sabbath day to do that. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I want you to gather together for your mutual instruction and edification. I want you to encourage one another in your walk with the Lord. So this is all rooted in God's rest. Therefore, you also rest. And remember that there were other Sabbaths in the Old Testament. There was the Sabbath of the Jubilee. You had 7 times 7 years. 7 sevens in years. 7 sevens in months sometimes. You had the 7th month, which had the Day of Atonement. That was considered a Sabbath. The Jubilee was considered a Sabbath, we've mentioned already. There were various ceremonial Sabbaths that the Lord says in the New Testament. All of those are set aside. The Sabbaths, especially in the plural. But the one day in the week, the one day in seven, which is really the emphasis of the fourth commandment, not whether it's the first or the second or the last, but one day in seven that we are to gather together to worship and to study and to adore the Lord Jesus throughout that day. Give it over entirely to the Lord. Give over the hours of that day entirely to the Lord. This is the probably the first commandment that tends to be under attack when people want to undermine the commandments. There's a big move in the United States here in the last few years to get the Ten Commandments posted again on the walls of classrooms and courts. And a judge had said they ought not to be in our courtrooms. And the Christians rose up and said they have to be in our courtrooms, otherwise you have no basis to send forth a judgment. But even a lot of the people that said those Ten Commandments need to be posted, a lot of those people really only have nine commandments. They have disregarded the fourth commandment and set it aside. We don't need the fourth commandment. Now I want you to remember, and this is really where it comes into play in terms of your interpretation, your understanding of the Ten Commandments. This is part of the moral law. There's a ceremonial aspect, there are ceremonial Sabbaths, but the fourth commandment is part of the moral law. This commandment is, the purpose is, with the other nine, is to teach you that you are a sinner. Is to instruct you that your heart is not perfect with the Lord. And the fourth commandment, more than any other, we want to either dismiss or very easily take the other extreme, that we have performed all that the law requires. I have obeyed the Sabbath. I have fulfilled the Sabbath. But in fact, You can't. Only Christ fulfilled the Sabbath day. It's another law that is meant by design of God to convict you of sin, to convict you that you are imperfect before Him. And so, let us think for a moment about Christ's work, His active obedience. Act of obedience had to do with His fulfilling the law from the heart in perfect satisfaction of a holy God. Christ never, never failed to obey the fourth commandment. And if you read the Gospels and that thought is left in your mind, that Christ really rewrote or reinterpreted the fourth commandment, then you don't understand the nature of Christ's work. You don't understand the nature of the fourth commandment. When the Lord Jesus Christ, was it permissible for the disciples to take wheat and to rub off the chaff and to eat those kernels of wheat for their nourishment? Jesus approved of it. So therefore, in the very nature of it, they were not, in that act, with Christ's blessing, they were not disobeying the fourth commandment. But the Pharisees had multiplied the manner in which the law was to be obeyed. They had added all kinds of other extraneous rules about what it meant to obey the Sabbath. And they said, you know, when you take that wheat, that raw wheat, and you go like this and grind it all up, that's the same as threshing. You know, whether you do 500 bales or a handful, it's really threshing. And threshing is working, therefore you can't do that. So they wrote that in their little law. When they saw Jesus doing it and His disciples, they took that opportunity to jump on Him and say, you're violating the law. And Jesus said, no, He didn't. Now, if Jesus really had broken the fourth commandment, I testify to you, I am not saved. I have no salvation. Neither do you. Because your salvation, your justification rests on the perfect obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ of the fourth commandment, amongst the others. So when Jesus went to heal a man, many men, we read of one here in the third chapter of Mark, when he went to heal that man, did he violate the Sabbath? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If you understand the nature of salvation, he could not have violated it. He did not rewrite it. And let me reiterate, you have no salvation if Jesus in one point of the law, for one nanosecond, broke the law. You have no salvation. You are yet in your sins. But he didn't. He did obey the law. God's word promises me that he obeyed the law on my behalf. So, what did he say? What was his reason that he gave for healing? Well, what should I do? Should I leave him in his sickness? He needs healing. I'm going to heal him. Nothing for me to heal him. Another place, he heals someone who's been sick for decades. Decades! Could he have waited one more day? Could that person have waited one more day? Well, the way I look at it, he could have. It seems as though he could have, but Jesus said, no, this is the day that I have appointed for him to be healed. And he says, you wicked Pharisees, you are more gracious, you are more merciful to your oxen, to your asses that fall into the ditch. You make sure that they get out. You expend energy to bring your oxen out of a ditch to make sure that they're healthy. And this one who is a son of Adam, who is one of you, and you're not going to have compassion upon his body, even never mind his soul. Have compassion. Compassion. And the Lord rebuked this externalism. So we're very, very prone to make up rules for other people regarding the Sabbath. You ought not to do that on the Sabbath day. Why? Because I have a rule. I have a law. And you're offending, not so much offending the Lord as offending a bias. But brothers and sisters, you ought to have some consideration of what it means for you to obey the fourth commandment before a holy God. What does God mean? He doesn't mean to multiply and add rules to his commandments, but he means for you to take a day, the first day of the week by the resurrection of the Lord. He means for you to take that day and to celebrate that resurrection, to spend one day with him and with his people. He means for you to do that. He means for you to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ for that day. It can't be done. It can't be done perfectly. But the Lord's people strive to do that to the honor of the Lord. Not to the honor of one another or the obedience of one another. They're desiring to honor the Lord with a gospel obedience. And how can you spend this whole day absorbed in spiritual things? It's a good thing to endeavor to do to the best of our abilities. Our society, Canada, in 2008 and for the last 20 years, 20-some years, has made it much more difficult. Because the Supreme Court, in all of its earthly wisdom, determined that we should be able to shop on the Christian Sabbath, on the Lord's Day. When I was a little boy, we couldn't even buy gasoline on the Lord's Day. We couldn't even go into a pharmacy. I remember when I was little, they changed that rule. They said you could go into the pharmacy if you needed medications. Now that's really an application of what Christ has been speaking of here. You need medication, and you can get that in emergency at the hospital, but you need medication, but no chocolate bars, no whatever else, no potato chips. You're there to get medications. So here they're thinking through, what is it that our nation needs to do? Our nation does need to obey the God of law, the law of God. But it needs to obey that law inwardly. And Christians are the only ones that really can begin to obey from the heart this commandment, to set aside the hours of this day to the honor and the glory of Christ. So we make exception in works of necessity and mercy. Our doctors and our nurses, they are engaged in keeping people alive. Policemen are engaged in protecting us. And those are necessary works. Reading a sermon by a fellow by the name of Kirsten from Holland. And he said that here was the controversy in Holland. He was preaching a sermon on this Lord's Day during the war. Well, what should we do? In what sense are we to be engaged in activities pertaining to protecting our country? It was a question that people had. It's a question that people ought to think through. I don't have the answers. People want, you know, these cut and dry little answers. They want these little boxes where I can put all this stuff into, but weigh these things before the Lord. The Lord's people are to be apparently different from the world. And this is one way in which you and I are different from the world. We'll do our shopping on Saturday or the evenings of the week. Why should we jump into the world's way of doing things? We got by fine 30 years ago, 40, 50 years ago. We got by just fine with stores closed. Now, people go shopping because not because they have to, but because they can. It's a matter of ordering and being a good steward of your time. There's no need. There's really no need to go shopping on the Lord's Day. There's no need for us to expend our energies on other things. But for the Lord's people to say, I have a more urgent work, a work that my heart desires upon this day, I'm going to use my Saturday in large part to make preparation for the Lord's Day and to set it aside for worship. Because this is the day I serve the Lord during the week, but this is the day when I commune with Him in a special way. How do you set aside the Lord's Day? How do you understand the Christian Sabbath? The Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You have nothing to study, nothing to commune in, if you don't know the rest of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you know His rest, if you know that you have ceased from your labors, then you commune with the Lord's people upon the Lord's day and you rejoice in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, don't you? And don't you delight in what He has done? Don't you glory in what He has done? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it a blessing to receive that one day when the Lord says, I want you to set aside the hours of this day to worship me? Could a Christian ask for anything better? The Puritans often called it the market day of the soul. So we have six market days. This is the market day of the soul. This is the day that we trade in spiritual things. This is the day in which my heart is blessed. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ and desire, earnestly desire that communion with Him? To be with the Lord's people? Or can you hardly wait till it's over? A lot of people are just waiting, chomping at the bit. And boy, I just can't wait to get back at my work. Some people maybe during the service are saying, I wish I wasn't here, I wish I was somewhere else. That's already desecrating the Sabbath. But to say, I want to be in heaven, and this is a taste of it. Heaven is going to be like this, a lot like this. We're going to glory in Christ. We're going to commune with Him. We're going to rejoice in all of His finished works. And when we look in Hebrews chapter 4, where that rest is spoken of, Hebrews chapter 4, by our observation of the Sabbath, we cease from our own works, and we are yielded to the Lord, and we look unto the Lord for the help of His Holy Spirit, and we enter, or we begin at least, to enter into this rest. And let's read in Hebrews 4, beginning at verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from before the foundation of the world. For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. So that's similar to the fourth commandment, going back to creation. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, from Psalm 95. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, that was the children of Israel. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And here we come to the preaching of God's word. For if Jesus or if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Joshua led them into the land of Canaan, but he didn't give them rest. There remaineth therefore, verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Or literally, in the Hebrew, there remaineth therefore a Sabbath rest to the people of God. There does remain. The Word of God says there does remain a Sabbath rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. And that's what it is to enter into the rest of Christ. They have a great burden of sin, and the Lord removes that burden and gives you great joy and liberty because now you're resting in Christ and you're taking his yoke upon you with him. For he that has entered into rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So here's the exhortation to the Hebrew Christians. Let us labor to enter into that rest. We're still looking forward to that rest because this is just the beginning of our eternal rest with God. We haven't entered into that rest. The Scriptures say repeatedly, we haven't fully entered into that as long as we're dwelling here with sinful hearts, amongst sinners, we are still laboring to enter into that rest. We gather on the Sabbath day to look forward to heaven. One day we'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we'll do this every day. And we're not going to have to wait for 7 days to do it again. We're going to do it every day. Because there's going to be no sin to disrupt us. No sin to interrupt that fellowship. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 14, Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. There's a verse that's often used as a benediction to memorial services. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. You see, it's only in heaven that we'll have our eternal rest. We have a tithe of it, as it were. We have a taste of it. Puritans call this the market day of the soul, and they called it also a taste of heaven. The gathering together of the saints is a taste of heaven. If you love the Lord's day, you're going to love heaven. But if you're not that keen on meeting together with the saints, why are you looking forward to heaven? There's going to be nothing there for you. If you'd rather be here doing something else, out in the world, that's a description of what's in your heart. But oh, to be always with the saints. Oh, to be blessed with the fellowship of the saints through eternity, never ending. It just goes on and on and on. No distractions. Always to be in communion, always to be in the very, very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, to worship and adore Him. And there, we begin in this life, in our Sabbath. The Catechism says we begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. There's a touch of it here. There's a beginning of it as we're instructed in the Word of God. Are you blessed in the Sabbath day? Were you blessed upon this day to see the Lord Jesus Christ? To see Him unveiled, to see Him revealed to you, to see Him evidently set before Him. Was this a wonderful day of rest? I trust that it was. We're blessed when we receive the beauties of the Lord Jesus Christ and we worship Him in the beauty of His holiness. We see His glories. And we know that the Lord has visited us. And He has given us rich things, beautiful things, glorious things, which our souls need to be instructed in. And we want to be delivered from the things of this world. That's what a Sabbath ought to look like. May the Lord forgive us for our Sabbath breaking. And may He make us to love and delight in His Sabbath. Let us pray. Lord our God, we pray that we may call the Sabbath a delight. That it may be the very joy of our hearts. That it may not be laborious for us to attend upon the worship services. That it may not be laborious for us to open the Scriptures. Oh Lord, what wickedness is in our hearts that we should not desire this rich fellowship. We pray that it may be richer yet. We pray that as together as Thy covenant people, as we grow in grace, as we are more and more rid of our sin, we pray that they may be more and more precious, our Sabbaths unto us. That we may more and more delight in them. That we may more and more yearn for heaven and long to be with Thee. O Lord, we would have a spiritual Sabbath. Deliver us from a mere legal observance of this day by hours and minutes. But, O Lord, make us to yearn for a true fellowship with Thee. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn number 322, the wrong number in your hymnals, 322, Lord of the Sabbath, hear us.